It is Memorial Day. We're going to talk a little bit about what that means, and then we're going to talk a little bit about what we have been talking about. Strength begets strength. Stay with us. Well, welcome to this Monday, May the 26th, 2025. We're glad you've come by to be with us today. We hope you're with us every week. But whether you are or not, we're glad you're here today. And this is, as you know, Memorial Day. And Memorial Day is a day in which we are memorializing or remembering and honoring and respecting those who have given their lives for our country, primarily our military people. And also, you know, somebody says Happy Memorial Day, and you say, how would it be happy? Well, it's maybe happy is a too light of a word, but we are happy and we are thankful for what the sacrifice of the people who have fought for our nation has produced. And so the freedoms we have, the liberties that we have, the lifestyle that we're able to live because of blessing, financial and materially and educationally, the freedom that we have hundreds of universities that are independent. They're not government in universities. And then we also have state universities. So, but these opportunities that we have, and all of these things come because someone fought for some values and fought for some convictions of what was the proper way to govern. And much of that goes back to deep layers of the philosophy of human life and of the value of the human race, especially the value of the human individual, and that people are treated as subjects and not as objects. So when you treat a person as an object, whether you're a government or whether it's a slave owner or whether it is an abusive spouse that is domineering and has control and abuses the people, and it, all of this is attacking the subjectivity of a human being. And all of that is among the baseline most heavy sins. Those things are sins. And so government philosophies matter because they are actually extrapolations of some of these deeper thoughts behind them. And there's other thoughts that governments are based upon. And so here's kind of a little quick deal. We don't want to get off too far in this here on Memorial Day, but it's good to have a little talk about it on this special day, probably. And that is that governments are based on these philosophies, and the two primary philosophies come down to what is more important and what gets primacy of place. Does the state get primacy of place, or does the individual get primacy of place? And if you look at all the governments in the world and you look at the infrastructure and the composition of these government entities around the world, they all generally fall into one of those two categories. And where the individual gets primacy of place is usually called a democracy. And where the state gets primacy of place is called a number of things. It's called a dictatorship. And it is a place where the leader and the importance of the state is placed first of all. So there's not as much value placed on individuals. Kill them if it's necessary for the promotion of the state, whether they want to or not, coerce them. or kill them if they will not cooperate. So state religions don't particularly like religion. State governments don't like religion. I'm not talking about states in the United States. I'm talking about national governments. National governments that do not value the individual and that see the state as the most highest authority, they are oppressors, usually, of religious freedom. Over here on the other side, in a democracy, it emphasizes the importance of the individual, and therefore the primary thing that that comes with that is freedoms for the individual. So in the United States, everything, this is shouted, the proverbial statement shouted on the street corner is exactly true in this case, because if you're standing on a street corner and you want to walk across the street, does the power lie with the pedestrian, or does it lie with this much stronger and more powerful bully in the car? Well, it lies with the pedestrian. So that's a little example of the individual receives primacy of place. So anyway, this is what was fought for in America. If you don't believe in this kind of government, then don't celebrate Memorial Day if you don't want to. But we're celebrating Memorial Day, and we appreciate the fact that these people fought for these principles. And people that do not understand those principles and that which is the antithesis of those principles oftentimes are negative about government. But most of them that are negative in America are negative about a government that is the only kind of government that allows you to be negative about the government itself, because the others will kill you or put you in jail. So if you like them so much, why don't you just go there? But then if you go there, you lose your freedoms. So anyway, really, we don't want you to go there. We want you to come to church, and we want you to find Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is the one that introduced individuality on a level that nobody else has ever introduced it. And he not only gave freedom physically and mentally, intellectually and emotionally, but he goes to the core of it and gives freedom spiritually. And so the spiritual core of man, that is the baseline of humanness. It is the core. It is the closest you can get to the essence of what it means to be human. And that is where Jesus Christ brings liberty. Liberty from sin, liberty from the dominion of sin, which is led by one who hates human beings. He is a hater. He is a murderer, the Bible says. He's a thief. He's a robber. In the book of Revelation, he's called Apollyon. He is the destroyer. And these are real things. This is the conditions of reality in our universe. So you can't overcome these things by emphasizing weakening the individual. This is what these governments attempt to do, is weaken the individual. Don't give them too many freedoms. Keep them tied down. Dominate them. And Christianity is just the opposite. Christianity says the way to make an individual most compliant is to give them their freedoms and let them make choices. Educate them, give them the opportunities, give them the pros and the cons, and model what freedom means. And then when those people get older, they can decide what they want to do. So today we're at Memorial Day. Many of us are at picnics. I'm at a picnic, and it's a church picnic we have every year that celebrates Memorial Day. It's a great time. There's hundreds of people there, and we just eat too much and enjoy the day in the big, beautiful park. So I don't know what you're doing today, but we have been talking here about strength begets strength and weakness begets weakness. It kind of goes along with what I've already said today, and that is that there's different philosophies about this too. And so people believe that empathy is the most important thing, which empathy is different than sympathy. And empathy means we care. It doesn't mean in its first level, it doesn't mean that we're doing anything about it except comforting you in your weakness. And so I would say that the city of San Francisco has shown tremendous empathy to drug addicts, tremendous empathy to people who are destroying their own lives with chemicals. They get addicted to them. And so San Francisco says, well, we value the human being, so we don't want them to hurt. So we're going to give them these chemicals that are killing themselves with. We're going to give them to them free so they can have them. And so they won't be hurting and they won't be in pain. And so they keep them drugged up until finally one morning they go out and they pick them up off the street dead and haul them off and bury them. This is the best that weakness can do. This is the best weakness can do. So how do you help the weak? I mean, even in a church like churches that cater to the lowest common denominator. That means we don't preach against anything or about anything that crosses anybody or that would make them feel guilt or shame or that would make them feel like they're not doing good enough, that they actually could be motivated with positive thoughts to do better. All of those things, we don't preach about that because we don't preach about sin. I was told one time in a class years and years ago when I was young that that day had passed when you talked about sin and you called people sinners. Don't call people sinners. Call them something else. So all of this is a kind of catering to weakness. That would be with vocabulary, you're catering to weakness. And when you cater to weakness, the group moves to a focus on the weak all of the time because the weak need that focus. That it's an empathetic focus that's not a focus that helps them. So how do you help the weak? The way you help the weak is you create a place of strength in which they are totally welcome. And you invite them and encourage them. And the place of strength is so good and so inviting. This is typically what Jesus Christ is. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. So when we say strength, we're not talking about bully. We're not talking about brute. We're not talking about ruthless. We're not talking about without conscience, and we're not talking about abuse. That's not strength. That's weakness, another form of weakness. When we talk about strength, it is a place where that with love and kindness says you don't have to continue to live at the level that you're living today. For every one of us, there's places where we can continue to advance and become. So our churches, if they're going to help their community, and if they're going to help individuals and they're going to help its members, a church needs to be constantly helping people become. That would be a good little slogan for a church, helping people become. And because that's what we do. Somebody says, well, not in our church. Bless God, we preach salvation. And what we do is we get them saved. Well, saved is called born again in the Bible. So that's the very first infancy stage of helping people to become. So if you have someone who is delivered from sin and born again, born babies, then you have just drawn them into, and there couldn't be any more important thing for a human being than to be born. That's about as elemental as you can get on the importance level, on the importance list. You got to be born before you can be. And so somebody is born again, or the Greek might mean better, or the original meaning might mean better, born from above. And so being born from above. So this is why in churches that know what they're doing, biblically, theologically, philosophically, the first thing they emphasize is somebody being born again, born of the water and born of the Spirit. And so we don't empathize with the fact that they've got all these addictions they can't get rid of. We give them an answer to getting rid of those addictions. And this is why churches that that do not emphasize personal growth of their people. People are not cabbage heads that are just supposed to come to church and sit on a bench. They are intended to grow. They are intended to become. The freedoms God has given us on Memorial Day are freedoms that are intended to be utilized to be stronger, each of us. And the stronger we are, the more liberty we have. We're talking about strength in the correct definition and connotation. And so these are things that are important for us to know. So a church that doesn't preach separation from the world, a church that doesn't preach holy living and holiness, a church that doesn't preach biblical doctrine, because biblical doctrine is liberating. It's not binding. It's liberating. And so we are taking people from a make-believe world. They don't have a real world, so they're living in a make-believe world. The Hollywood world is all make-believe. It's all the people there that they make their living being actors. Do you find that funny? I find that funny. They are acting. They're not really living. They're living, acting like that's how they make their living. And they try to look pretty with makeup, like make-believe, like makeup stories. Little kids make up stories. Did you know there's not three little pigs, and there never was three little pigs, and the wolf, and that whole story that's all fabricated, the three little pigs? It's fiction. Okay, but it's a made-up story, and that made-up story has a purpose. But the made-up story of life is that you are a fiction. The part of yourself that you're making up is fictional. That's not a you that exists. So all of that, you have to get past all of that. You have to get liberated from the fictions that you are not, because the devil deals in fiction. That's his deal. He's got what we call a counterfeit kingdom to the kingdom of God. And so we don't deal in fiction. We deal in reality. Why? Because reality is 10 million times better than fiction. And also reality is reality, which means when we say there's eternal life, there is. But the fiction world doesn't even have the promise of eternal life, and they have no eternal life. But the real life does. That's strength. Strength begets strength. So you get a congregation of people that have been delivered and that have been set free and that know what they're talking about and are standing there in flesh and blood, and people can see them. Other people who want deliverance, they come to strength. So you compromising people, you compromising preachers, you compromising churches, thinking that you're helping people, you're really not helping them. You're just revealing your own lack of either understanding or courage to stand up and create strength so that people can come to strength and get the real thing.